You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of October 3rd, 2017, and episode number 332. And this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. Yes, we're back after I took a little vacation, a week off here to, to regroup, to recoup. Here we are back in the saddle again. And it's been an interesting couple of weeks here in the paranormal, and unfortunately, it's been the last few days here in the United States. It's just been chaotic, just been crazy, and unfortunately, events in Las Vegas have kind of really derailed a lot of our emotions and our fixations on the paranormal world, and my thoughts are definitely with those affected by the deadly shooting in Las Vegas, the most deadliest, unfortunately, in modern times here in America. And it's hard to, it's hard to put things in perspective. It's hard to kind of ignore what's going on. But, we have to stop speculating. We have to stop making assumptions about what happens, what's going on currently. And unfortunately, I don't trust the media, but we have to allow that entity to do its job instead of us trying to police things on Facebook and make things up and make our opinions sound like facts. So just be careful what you post, be careful what you talk about, because when the facts come to light, you may look a little silly. And let's not forget, a lot of people died, and a lot of people are affected by this, and there's still a lot of things that are to come that we're going to hear that's not things that we want to hear. So let's keep ourselves kind of in check here with what we're doing out there. And then we lose Tom Petty. Man, I don't know what's going on. It's musicians, and mostly musicians dying lately. And I don't know. It's just odd that you always wonder, well, gosh, I don't want to think about it, but who's next? And I never would have thought Tom Petty. But strangely, I'm not saying this is paranormal. We were just talking about this before I went on the show live here. And this is like at least the third or fourth time that I remember the last couple of years that I've heard about a fake story about somebody dying, and then they happen to die less than 48 hours later. I'm not saying it's related, because some people get death hoaxes constantly, almost weekly, it seems like. But Tom Petty had one just less than 24 hours away until his actual, he had a cardiac arrest. People assumed that he had died. He was actually on life support. A few hours later, he did pass away. And the LAPD accidentally put it out there that he had passed away when he hadn't. There's a lot of confusion on that as well. It just gets weird. I know Paul Walker was the same way. Somebody had published a story about his passing prematurely. And then the next day, he got into a car accident. And I was tricked. I was fooled, because I'd already dispersed that rumor the day before, and then he passed. So just kind of some weird stuff that's going on, and some scary stuff that's going on that kind of takes us away from all of that. And my job here is to keep you entertained with the reality of the paranormal, and we can all deal with real life together, and we can also deal here with the paranormal together and talk about what's weird going on out there. And this week's news is brought to you by the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science. IMHS is a premier online and distance learning university that offers high quality doctorate and doctoral PhD metaphysics degrees that will enhance your life and career, even if your career is not in the metaphysics field. Metaphysics is the scientific study of consciousness, existence, and reality, and includes such topics as theoretical mathematics, to quantum physics, to cosmology, to psychic phenomena. More information on the Institute of Metaphysics and Humanistic Science, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. And what are we going to be talking about tonight? Well, we are going to be talking a little Chicago phantom sightings as these reports continue to continue. Now we're going to talk about the return of the spiral UFOs and an alien photographed in Argentina, or was filmed in the Dominican Republic. Huh. We're also going to talk MUFON sighting statistics for September, and we're going to cover bottom of the barrel flat earth movement. Very interesting story. And I've already kind of touched on some real life stuff here at the top of the show. We're going to dive into what's happening in Cuba. Not quite paranormal, but it has some interesting ties to that. And we're going to try to unravel that mystery as well. Since, people are making some really weird assumptions about this. And I think there's a little bit more than meets the eye, not the Transformers, but something there that I think is a little bit deeper than how deep you think it is already. So, some anomalous notes. Not seen it. You're interested in seeing it. Handbook for the Amateur UFO Investigator is now available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and probably a lot of other areas. This is my latest effort, my latest book published. And the Handbook for the Amateur UFO Investigator is geared towards anybody who has an interest in the UFO field, being a researcher or investigator, wants to kind of understand the field from kind of the inside, kind of looking at it from a researcher's standpoint. So I'm not going to wow you with UFO stuff. I'm going to present things as they are, do the research for you so you can read about sightings or about events and see them in a balanced light, and then get into the research investigation topic. So if you're interested in that book, you can go right to paranewsinsider.com and you can look on my bio there where it says 6 books. You click on that and it'll take you right to the page where I have all my books. The events listing for the paranormal conferences, conventions, including classes, guided tours, ghost conferences, UFO conferences, cryptid events, so on and so forth is updated. I really haven't added anything lately for this year, though it's weird. Some stuff is starting to trickle in 2018 already. Wow. Including the Twinsburg Paranormal Conference, which takes place February 17th in Twinsburg, Ohio. Now, that's pretty much smack dab in between Cleveland and Akron in Northeast Ohio. And this is actually an event that I am hosting, and it's got a lot fantastic speakers, including WCGB's very own Colin Schneider, who will be speaking at that event. Talk a lot more about this event as we get closer. I got 3 ghost events. Well, I just got picked up for a library presentation in April of next year down in Circleville, Ohio, home of the Big Pumpkin. Events are starting to trickle in for 2018. Still a little bit of a chunk to go here. Obviously, October, that's what I call the silly season for us field, because that's when all of a sudden we turn into rock stars and everybody wants to hear what we do and how we do it. A lot of library presentations for a lot of authors out there, as well as a lot of paranormal groups all across the country. This is our time to shine. And I only have one this year in October, October 23rd. Westerville Public Library, and that is on the outskirts of Columbus, Ohio, on the east section, northeast area, right there off of that wraps around the city. It's it's going to be 9 years, 9 consecutive years at that library, speaking of ghosts. Very excited about that. And 9 years. I've been doing this show for 9 years. But I've taken many months off, so it's a pretty big accomplishment. Anyway, check out the list at paranewsinsider.com. Click on the events tab right there at the top, second one in. Can't miss it. And you'll see this nice picture of myself and John Sable there at the top. And I'll be at John Sable's event next month on November the 3rd and the 4th. That's going to be in Bedford, Pennsylvania. That's going to be a very interesting event, the excavation of Victorian ghosts at Bedford Springs. And all the presenters will have a presentation geared toward the Victorian era. That building is beautiful. I've been there a couple of times before, and it's just gorgeous. And it almost feels like you are stepping back in time. Not fun last year. I hit a deer, and was not fun at all. But looking forward to that this year. And if you're interested in going to that, you can go to, again, paranewsinsider.com and click on the events tab at the top. So, and we'll go into some news here. And cryptid news. Obviously, the Chicago Phantom is a big thing we've been talking about for the, I don't know, gosh, 2-3 months now. And I think the last time I was here on the show, 2 weeks ago, we were at number 48, the number of case reports. And now we're at 54. I'm not going to rehash all of that. I'm just going to kind of condense all this stuff for you real quick here. Yeah, 6 Chicago Phantom sightings since I was last on the air September 19th. And throw this one in the chat real quick. And one of these cases is by far one of the most interesting, I think, so far of all of these. I think it's interesting because it's probably the scariest one to happen so far. Number 50. Case. This occurred on September 16th at around 10 p.m. Central Time. A pair of witnesses saw the large winged creature land as they walked near a corner store at the corner of South Ridgeway Avenue and West 24th Street. The creature turned to another person who had just walked out of the store, but the person ran off screaming. And then the creature focused back on these witnesses. The creature then opened its wings and stepped toward the witnesses. They didn't stop to figure out what was going to happen next. They took off running. But then the creature let out a loud shriek and then took off, flew over them, suddenly landed in front of the witnesses about 15 feet away. Now, luckily, a car turned the corner, and the large bat-like creature took off into the night. Now, that's sounds awful scary, and Lon Strickler, who's been spearheading these cases, documenting everything through phantomsandmonsters.com, he notes that this is the most aggressive case to date. And he thinks that this is not a sign of something more ominous to come. Well, let's hope not. Sounds awful iffy right there as to what this creature would have done. But, I mean, what is a giant bat-like creature? I mean, it doesn't have hands. Not going to like box these. I'm not going to fight him. He's going to wrap him up in his wings. I don't know. I mean, at first I was like, wow, that's pretty sinister and scary, but what does this thing have? How is it going to attack people? You know, maybe it's just tired of all these people gawking at it, but I don't know. It's a weird event, strange, but it is what it is. And we move on. Let me throw a link in the chat room. And if you're not listening live chat room, you're going to miss out on some interesting things. I do share links throughout this program of things that I've gathered through research. And I also share some photographs and different things along the way that the comparisons and some different things that I've come up with through some research to kind of prove some points along the way. That'll make sense as we go through here tonight. Really good, really good, interesting things here. Now, the most recent Chicago Phantom sighting took place last Tuesday. A husband and her son heard their neighbor's dog barking and went to look out the back door to see what was going on. And when the woman turned on the porch light, she and her son saw the large creature, bat-like creature, big dark wings, take off into the air. And the son was able to draw the creature, and it had large white wings and glowing red eyes. And I'll tell you, when you see this picture, it looks just like the Mothman. Just like the Mothman. A little spooky, I think. There's that link there in the chat room. And if you go to, you can go to phantomsandmonsters.com. There's also a very interesting map on Google that if you go to any one of these stories on the Chicago Phantom, you go down to the bottom, there's a link to click on the map. If you bring the map up, you can see every single case popped up. Currently 54 sightings on the map, and you can see where they took place. And they're on the left-hand side. You can go through each one, and they're all in order of receipt. So they're not in order of how they happened. They're in order of when these cases were handed down to either Lon or anybody else that's been involved in this research. So you can kind of check those cases out. One. And now we're going to move on to UFO news. And, well, we're going to talk about this ballistic missile test in Russia. Now, you might not have seen this, but I've noticed this is popping up on some conspiracy theory-based websites as well as some paranormal sites. Not as many as before. This isn't really as big of news as the stuff had been in the past, some of the prior cases. Now, this is a ballistic missile test in Russia that is causing some concern for local citizens. And, you know, we've heard a lot about these ballistic missile tests, especially in North Korea lately. It's causing a lot of concern for people about potential nuclear war. It's always been a threat. It's always been something, you know, those of us that grew up, even as recently as the 1980s, I mean, we had to worry about that quite a bit from Russia. So it's really nothing new, but it is scary because I don't know about you, but I think buddy over there in North Korea, I think he's a little crazy to be nice about it. And, you know, now we have Russia testing these ballistic missiles. But anyway, it wasn't the threat of nuclear war that had people on edge, but what they saw in the sky instead. Photos of the missile launch have now created another round of spiral in the sky images that are making the rounds as UFO sightings. The missile test occurred on September 26th and was to test the Topol RS-12M long-range ballistic missile that is capable of traveling 6,800 miles. 6,800 miles. That would put it within range of hitting the United States. Now, the tests were not only test the missile capabilities, but also for anti-missile defense penetration technology. And I do have a photo. Yeah, I can bring that up here and share it in the chat room with you guys to show you what this thing looked like. There it is. And do the little thing. There it is. So you can see, and if you're in the chat room, you can see this spiral in the sky. It looks fake. It looks CGI. That's what a lot of people were saying about this thing. It's very spooky. Very spooky. See this thing. I can't imagine what people think if they don't know what this thing is in the sky to see this thing. And again, this isn't something that's new. Strange light in the sky on December 9th, 2009 was explained as a failed Russian missile. That one got a lot of media, especially here in the paranormal. It was one of the first that was like that. This rocket spiraling out of control. It was a failed missile launch and was already pretty high up in the sky and created spiraling and scared a lot of people. Then we had one in September 2nd, 2015 in Florida. Now, this was an Atlas V rocket launch, and it had been postponed a number of times. So Florida should have known about this thing, but it still took people by surprise when they launched this thing in the pre-dawn hours. Now, this thing launched at pre-dawn, so the sun wasn't above the horizon line, but when something is high up in the sky, it's going to reach the sun. So the afterburners, or the I should say the smoke from the afterburners hit the sunlight and it just looked very, very scary. I thought this was an alien spacecraft over Earth, or was there a rift in the time-space continuum, or who knows what. A lot of speculation was flying on that particular case. And a few months later, there was another one on the coast of California as well that was filmed that scared a lot of people again. So nothing to worry about, except for the fact that Russia is testing long-range missiles. I guess that is maybe a little something to worry about here, but I don't know. Maybe it's just a show of force. I don't know. So now we're going to jump into another UFO thing here, an alien kind of encounter. And this is another one. This has been going on for a little while and kind of normally a thing that I wouldn't talk about. But it's something that's kind of bothering me and just kind of was like, well, not going to worry about it. But then obviously took a week off here and it's still making the rounds. So I figure I got to talk about this. I got to tackle this. I made a few comments, different people's websites and things. But I got to talk about it here on the show just in case you haven't seen this. Let me go backwards. Getting ahead of myself. Throw the link for the last story into the chat room. Yeah, a lot of alien stuff this week. Kind of scary. Kind of spooky. Okay, so this photograph. Purported alien, and the thing that's really bugging me is the backstory behind this. This thing just popped out of nowhere. Now it's making the rounds not only on social media but also the news media. The Express out of the United Kingdom, which is come on, it's always known for their fact-finding reporting abilities. Not really. They published this story, and it's been making the rounds in several paranormal blogs. The story goes that teens in Argentina stumbled upon an alien, and then the police were able to photograph it before it ran away. Sounds legit. And, you think this would be front page news everywhere. Now, the story seemed to originate on the Facebook page of an Argentinian radio station, and just blossomed from there. Many people, like always, were quick to say hoax. I mean, seems like it's a knee-jerk reaction, but they had nothing to verify their claims on other than the photograph basically looked too good to be true. And that's also what some of the people that initially saw the story said, that's just too good to be true. It just doesn't seem right. And a lot of people were making a lot of speculations as the story broke. Some claimed it was CGI from the movie Signs. Remember that one, Signs? It was about Mel Gibson. You never saw that? Well, don't worry. It wasn't all that great. Kind of sort of looks like one of those guys from that movie, one of the aliens from the movie Signs. There was nothing to back that up. Nobody had a screen grab or anything to validate that hypothesis. Say that, yes, this is from Signs. Here's the picture. People were making assumptions about that. Some people said it was a toy or it was a cardboard cutout. But again, nothing to verify this, only assumptions. And on the other side of that, you had people that were saying this is the best evidence ever. Ever. Gathered of alien found on Earth. I'm not sure about that. I mean, how do you really know? You have a photograph of an alien. We don't really know what aliens look like. We have, again, assumptions of what we think aliens might look like. from movies to television to books, those who experience these things, people who are experiencers or abductees have noted what these aliens look like, but we really don't know. Really don't know. And to say, well, here's a picture of one, doesn't really, I don't know, doesn't really prove anything. Now, I'm not really one to quickly call out hoax until I have the evidence. Now, obviously, when I saw the picture, I kind of thought, well, this is probably more than likely, if you weigh it and you think about it, odds are pretty good that it's probably not a real alien photograph. I mean, the odds are kind of stacked against it. If you think of Occam's razor, an alien picture, yeah, it's on the list, but it's way down there. It's way down there. Way down there. So you kind of have to look at it, evaluate it for what it is, evaluate the evidence. And I mean, what can you say? It's either real or it's not real. There is no middle ground here. It's certainly impossible to say it's real. Since, I mean, one would have to have a lot more evidence than just an unsubstantiated account that appears on a radio station's Facebook page. I mean, that's not a whole lot to go on. Now, when I was researching this, kind of trying to figure out, you know, maybe somebody has knowledge or information that I don't have. Maybe I can try to help piece this thing together. Scott Brando operates UFOofinterest.org, was the one who really busted this photograph. He's, honestly, he's one of the best in busting hoaxes, UFO social media circle. I follow him on Twitter and on Facebook, and I'm constantly watching what he's doing, and he's always doing a fantastic job. Again, Scott Brando, UFOofinterest.org, constantly busting these things, and unfortunately, he spends a lot of time busting hoaxes, and instead of focusing on potential stuff that could be real, unfortunately, more often than not, there are these types of things. And you know, we have to have people out there like him and myself that they go after these things and try to tear them apart. Now, in the chat room here, I'm going to throw in a picture of the alien, which will be at the top, and what it actually is at the bottom. Now, the image Scott figured out is taken from a Spanish horror movie called OVNI. OVNI. Look it up. It's real. Here's the image in here. And you can see at the top, you see this little alien dude hanging out between a couple of trees. He's looked like he's about ready to step behind one. It looks like he's stepping out behind, or in front, should say, behind another little one there. And the other trees are illuminated by a light. But if you look below that, pasted together screen grabs from the movie OVNI. It is the same. It's weird because some of the stories on this thing claim that it's just one of the many potential explanations. Well, it looks like the same darn thing. I mean, everything is the same in these pictures. One's just zoomed in and lightened a lot. It's just altered a little bit. Now, OVNI. In case you're not aware, OVNI stands for Objeto Volador No Identificado, which is essentially unidentified flying object in Spanish. And there's been a couple of same titles, but this one just came out, was filmed last year, released earlier this year in the Dominican Republic, not Argentina. And from the Internet Movie Database, the movie is about, quote, an alien life form arrives in the Dominican Republic in search of freedom and forms a deep bond with an autistic girl and the town's drunkard, unquote. So, I don't know. Sounds like a great movie. And if you're interested, I do have the YouTube link where we got the screen grab and saw this and shared it with everybody. And also have that, and it's already stopped at an hour and 12 minutes And 1 second into this movie, all of a sudden you see this creature just kind of cuts real quick. You see this thing step out like this and cuts back. So I don't know how we did it, how we figured it out. But, excellent work by Scott Brando to figure that out pretty quickly and get that taken care of, because it's, I don't know, it's just, it kind of, it's weird because there's a lot of people that are claiming, that are sharing this photographic convention conscience and saying that this is legit, potentially legit, or this is a photograph of aliens. Yeah. Let's be careful of assumption. Again, I think I've said that like 10 times already. So anyway, just want to let you know that you're tuned in to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVradio.com. And you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And real quick, before we get into the next story, I just want to mention some of the things that are coming up here. Let's see. Monday night's Crypto Kid radio show. Great show. And I'll actually be on there next week. Next Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, making the announcement right here live. I'm going to be the guest again. The first guest on that show back in March. And excited to be back on the show. I'm going to have some interesting cryptozoology topics. Of what they are, I have no idea. But we'll figure it out. It's going to be an interesting video show. And tomorrow night, Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, Hot Rod Paranormal Radio with your host, John Perlea. And he will have Felix Martin, paranormal investigator, and a tour guide for ghost hunts weekends. And you can check out the whole entire lineup of WCJV Digital Broadcasting at WCJVRadio.com. Yeah, check it out. Made some changes. Some things have happened. We had some issues a couple weeks ago, and we're back. And a little shake up here on the line, but moving forward, this is still the channel to listen to. You're listening to some incredible shows coming up. I'm not saying that because I'm going to be on next Monday and I don't have the radio. But speaking of that, real quick, next week, I got a busy schedule. And I kind of feel like I'm losing my voice already. I don't know what's going on. But I had a radio show for, let's see, Thursday night. That got scrubbed. That's going to be postponed for the near future. Sunday night, October 8th, I'll be on Beyond the Edge Radio with host Eric Altman. He's a fan of the show. I was thinking today, when I was kind of compiling all the stuff that I needed to talk about, that maybe I'll put a code word in there. That I'll ask him on the air if he listens to the show. What's the code? But I'm not going to do that. Eric's a good friend of mine, a great, great radio show host, as well as a great researcher and investigator. So I'll be on the Edge Radio October 8th, and then October 9th, I'll be on Crypto Kid Radio right here on WCJVRadio.com. And then, of course, the 10th, I'll be back here behind the mic once again for the Paranormal News Insider. We'll see if I have a voice. That's quite the week. Three shows right in a row. Anyway, not going to be worried about that. Let's get through tonight. And wanted to talk about MUFON. I know MUFON's been having a little bit of an issue lately with their PR campaign here, pretty much. But they're still throwing out some stuff, and I'm kind of not happy with what's going on right now. I just got to complain about this. They're raising their rates, membership. It's a little confusing. I don't know. I don't even want to talk about it. It's just some awkward stuff. And I'm not sure about what's really going on behind the scenes at MUFON, but not really overly ecstatic, not really overly happy about the direction they're taking. But I don't know. I've been patient for over 15 years. I've been a member. So we'll see. But anyway, MUFON has released the sighting statistics for September. Yeah, we're in October, so looking back at last month, And I don't know. I've been having some really big issues getting close to the number of ports. I think it was might have been Dita that pushed me into doing predictions for the month. And I was doing pretty well there for a while, but now I might as well just throw a dart at a number on the wall. Not even been close at all, really, lately. Now, I predicted 674 total worldwide sightings. That was for August. And I also predicted 593 reports here in the United States. But MUFON reported 821 total reports and 623 in the United States. I guess that's not horrible with the U.S. prediction. Off by 30. That's not horrible. But way off in the overall statistics. Now, for the month of September, I predicted 768 total worldwide reports, 580 occurring in the United States. MUFON reported 622 total sightings, with just 430 for the United States. So, yeah, way off again. Now, the 622 total worldwide sightings are the lowest since the 590 that were reported back in June of this year, and a stark contrast to last month's 821. Now, the 430 for the U.S. sightings is the lowest since also since June, when there were 421 sightings. Now, after the United States with 430, we have Canada with 63 reports. That's a major drop off. but, you know, MUFON is based here in the United States, so they're not really that powerful. Canada has their own kind of reporting systems. And I don't know. It's just sad that MUFON really can't get more information from other countries. And third coming in here is the United Kingdom with 29. Argentina, which we just talked about, followed with 9 reports. Germany, Mexico, France, and India had 8 reports each. Romania, Australia, and the Netherlands had 6 reports each. There were 24 more countries that turned in 4 or less reports, with 15 only turning in 1 report. And of the 430 U.S. sightings, well, no surprise here. California was number one with 77 reports. And it should be no surprise. Again, I talk about this every single month. California is number one in state population. So therefore, if they're number one in state population, more people there than any other state, statistically speaking, they should turn in more. Texas was next with 28. New York had 26. Florida turned in 21. Pennsylvania had 18. Arizona 15. Colorado, Michigan, Washington State had 13. Utah had 12. Kentucky, Illinois, and New Jersey had 11 each. And Ohio, Nevada, and Oregon had 10 reports each. Looking further here, Massachusetts had 9, Tennessee and Indiana, my goodness, had 8. I should know how to say it. North Carolina, Idaho, and Iowa turned in 7 reports each, and 28 other states, including the District of Columbia, turned in 6 or less reports, with 6 states only reporting 1 UFO case. Should be a big asterisk next to the story. Now, this isn't just because we're talking about cases that are reported in the month of September does not mean that they were actually occurring in this particular individual month. Now, yes, you could have potentially cases through the first week of September that maybe actually happened in August, but you're also going to have cases that might have happened last year, 6 months ago, 20 years ago, that are being reported now. So it's really hard to get a clear image of exactly the cases unless you go through their case management system and really dig into these numbers. But again, it kind of just gives you a nice overview of the cases that are reported in the most time. Now, again, doesn't mean it actually happened to them. And we're talking really minute numbers. It's really not a whole lot. But I do like to break down the per capita so you know essentially what state is turning in the most cases per 100,000 people. And again, it's just really minor numbers here. For September, the total number of reports gathered, again, that was 430 here in the United States. That averages out if you take the entire U.S. population. So you take that 430 and you divide it by the entire U.S. population, which, let's see, in July of 2014, it was estimated to be 318,857,056 people. That's not the exact number, but that's what they say. That's what's reported. So that's what I use. And that breaks down to 0.135. If you take the total number of reports divided by the population and then you multiply it by 100,000, because we're looking at per 100,000, it breaks down to 0.135. So that's essentially not even one in every 500,000 people, essentially, in the United States reported the UFO. And, I mean, my gosh, you really can't expect it to be too much higher. Obviously, it'd be no worldwide panic, I think, if millions of people. But anyway, looking at the states. Now, if you look at the total U.S. number, it gives you a good idea as to states being higher or lower than that. It gives you a good idea of states higher than average. And we mentioned California, number one. California, number one, they had 77 sightings. And sounds impressive, sounds huge. But if you break that down, only 0.196. So it is above average for the U.S. total, 0.135. But again, number one in population kind of brings that number down. New York, number four in population, turned in 26 reports, only a 0.132. Sorry, New York, not impressed. Florida is number three in population. They only had 21 sightings, 0.102. Wow. Thanks for showing up. Arizona, number 14 in population. Great. 15 sightings, 0.222. Not impressive. Colorado, they're way down there, 21st in population. They had 13 sightings. Doesn't sound like much, but when you look at that, it's 0.235. Pretty impressive. But again, it's only 13 sightings. Kentucky, 26th in population. I don't remember how many numbers we have here, but 249.249. So not overly impressive, but the highest so far. Then we get to Utah. Utah is 33rd in population. They only had 12 sightings, but again, 33rd in population. So their number is 0.408, the biggest number we've had. Wyoming, dead last in population, number 50. Oh, they probably have more, probably more buffalo than people. Number 50. They had two sightings. A person and a cow probably saw a UFO. I don't know. That number actually translates to 0.342. That's pretty decent. Just two reports. But again, there's really not that many people that live in Wyoming. You could probably throw a rock and hit half the population. Nevada, number 35 population. They had 10 sightings, 0.352. North Dakota, number 47 in population, 406 with their three sightings. Idaho, 39th in population. They had seven sightings, 0.428. And District of Columbia, why not for fun? Threw this in here. Now, if they were an actual state, they would actually be 49th in population. 681,000 estimated people live there. Three sightings in the District of Columbia would give them a 0.441. If I had to pick a winner, I'm going to go with Utah. Yeah, Utah. They had 12 sightings and a 0.408. Not the biggest number per capita, but if you weigh it against the fact that they had 12 sightings, I mean, it's not impressive, not overwhelming. But still pretty good. We'll take it. They're the winner. And my prediction, I don't even know why I'm going to bother. I'm going to throw it out there, though, for October. Let me think here. Wow. Well, I've been way off, so I might as well just throw something out there. We're going to go with 571 total worldwide sightings. And I'm going to go with 364 U.S. sightings for the month of October. That's my guess. That's my hunch. We'll find out. And big thanks to Audrey Hamilton for providing this month's MUFON statistics. Usually takes me till the middle of the month to get the email. I don't know why. But that's just the way it is. Let's see. Well, I'm not going to talk about the end of the world. I think we know what happened. Delayed again. So, yeah. One of these days, these guys are going to get it right. But we'll never know because the world will be over. So, we're going to go to, let's see. Well, I don't have any links. But we're going to talk about Flat Earth. I am so done about flat Earth things, but you got to talk about it because it's in the media. It's not going away. It won't go away. No matter, we can't ignore it. People are misinformed. It's a conspiracy. It is a conspiracy. The Earth is really flat. That's what these people think. NASA, you know, the space shuttle NASA, the scientific people, NASA, well, they're supposedly in on this. They're covering up information. They're turning pictures into fisheye lenses and making the Earth look curved. It's a big cover-up. Well, that's what they think. That's not what I think. Well, we've talked about basketball players, other sports stars, some musicians, but not a rapper. I don't know really how you say the guy's name. B.O.B. I guess it's Bob. What an original stage name. And, you know, when I'm thinking about science and I'm thinking about information and I'm thinking about knowledge, I want to learn more about the world. I think I'm going to go to a rapper for information. I mean, forget Google. Forget NASA. Forget, you know. True science. Forget about reading a book. Who wants to do that? Who's got the time for that kind of stuff? No, I'd rather listen to a rapper tell me how the world is. Just like I want my sports stars to tell me about politics because they know everything about politics, right? I mean, they get paid millions of dollars to play children's games. So therefore, they should be the most knowledgeable people on politics. The same with rappers. I mean, what does this guy do between shows and videos? Having gold chains around his neck. What's he going to do? He's going to come up with some great theories and teach people about science. Well, Bob has started a GoFundMe campaign to help prove that the Earth is indeed flat. Now, he plans on purchasing multiple weather balloons and satellites to go into space. Probably not himself, but just the satellites to go into space. Couldn't get so lucky. And he's going to take pictures. And he's going to be looking for the curve. Right. This project started on September 21st and is called Show Bob the Curve. He's referencing the fact that he thinks that the Earth is curved, it's flat, and that all the curves, the pictures that we see, images in space, are all hoaxed. They're all fake. Every single one of them, millions of them, are all fake. Now, this project campaign is looking to collect $1 million. $1 million. That's a lot of money. And really and truly, when you break it down, it's really not enough to go into space, but that's what he's looking at. Now, initially, he was seeking $200,000. I don't know if you're a rap star, you probably could afford that, but as soon as this thing started being covered by the media last Tuesday, the figure suddenly skyrocketed to $1 million. So far, the campaign has collected just over $5,000. Where's the love for Bob? That's in just 11 days with 179 people donating. Interestingly, some seem to support the flat Earth hypothesis. There's people that are on the bandwagon, and just because they're donating doesn't mean that they actually are. One of the first donations was from a gentleman named Daniel Ferguson, who supports the cause by saying, quote, "Here's $5 to prove yourself wrong." Well, that's nice of you, Daniel. Appreciate that. Sean Deal writes, quote, "This is the dumbest I've ever seen, and I'm giving this dumb, well, I don't want to say the word, well, dumbass, he's, $5 simply because it's the funniest thing I've ever seen," unquote. I don't know if $5 is worth it. Like this, but anyway, Jason Moffat donated $5 and he commented, quote, "I got $5 on it because I love supporting absolute bat crazy stuff, and hey, cheap advertising," unquote. Yep. Chris Levens offered some insight into some other aspects that flat Earth can help explain when he pointedly pointed out, quote, and I quote, this is a quote, I don't want to get these words out of context. Quote, "Ain't no planet X coming, cause ain't no space, cause ain't not globe Earth," unquote. That's exactly what he said. "Ain't no planet X coming, cause ain't no space, cause ain't not globe Earth," quote. America, gotta love it. Yeah, $5. Thanks for your $5. You might have wanted to maybe buy a book. Taylor S. donated $10 and commented, quote, "I know the earth is round, but I'm willing to donate for educational purposes," unquote. And Jonathan Maravilla put down $250 and said, quote, "Damn, Bob, I know times are hard, bro, but really? You ain't fooling anyone. You know you could just ask your fans and followers for money and they just give. You don't have to lie to put food on the table. Orbital is probably not in your vocabulary for obvious reasons, but an orbital satellite to collect data from space, the conservative side is going to run you about $50 million, not to mention the rocket and the launch, which is probably an additional $700 million. A part of me would like to see this succeed so you could put this flat Earth thing to bed, but I know darn well that you could if you could somehow pull this off, the results wouldn't change a thing. I'm still considering matching donations as they come in, as I've done in the past. This might be the dumbest GoFundMe I've ever donated to," unquote. Wow, he put down, Jonathan Maravilla put down another $100 a day later and wrote this piece, quote, "F asterisk asterisk it, I'm back, LOL. Glad you paid attention to my comment in the last donation, but 200K to 100 mil, I think it was only 100, 1 million, still isn't enough to do what you want to do." So there's proof right there that he did change it. "You do know you can do this with a weather balloon for a tiny fraction of what you're asking for. I'm amazed at how many people actually believe the Earth is flat. I think this money should be donated to give these people a proper education. Wow. Then he gets, well, Instagram, Miravilla. There's your shout out, Miravilla. and probably one of my favorite one here. For $10 donation, Kevin Decker wrote this one on the fund site in question. For the motive to launching the satellite. I mean, the whole concept here is to buy a satellite to launch. And he says, quote, "You do know that satellites orbit around the Earth, right? They wouldn't work if the Earth was flat," unquote. Yeah. Well, just sad story. And it's unfortunate that things like this are actually getting the attention they're getting. And it is trending. It's one of the highest trending pieces in GoFundMe right now. I can't believe it, but it is, and it's crazy. I don't get it. Ain't no Planet X, cuz. Ain't no space, cuz. Ain't no globe Earth, cuz. Anyway, let's get to some more a little bit educational stuff here so we can teach you guys something real quick. Wow. Ain't no. Anyway, last Friday, this is kind of big news here. It's not really paranormal technically, but it's a little bit conspiracy theory-ish. I'm not one for conspiracy theories, but I find the story very interesting. And I think this is, well, I'm not going to spoiler it here, but last Friday, the United States announced it was ordering more than half of its staff from the embassy in Havana, Cuba, that they need to leave. And it's warning Americans not to travel to Cuba. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said in a statement announcing, quote, "Until the government of Cuba can ensure the safety of our diplomats in Cuba, our embassy will be reduced to emergency personnel in order to minimize the number of diplomats at risk of exposure to harm," unquote. And not sure if heard about this story, but according to the Associated Press, the U.S. Embassy in Havana will lose roughly 60% of its U.S. staff and will stop processing visas in Cuba indefinitely. Why? Well, as you may have known, or may have heard, or may have not heard, this stems from incidents. Be very careful in using the word incident. They've been a little bit looser lately to almost call them attacks. That have occurring foreign diplomats between last November and this spring, but have reportedly been occurring again recently. At least 21 U.S. diplomats and other Canadian diplomats have reported strange symptoms that make some suggest that a sonic weapon is at use against them. That's crazy. Well, there are a few potential explanations, including that this is merely surveillance equipment that is accidentally potentially gone wrong. So one suggestion is the certain surveillance equipment was not configured correctly and caused either ultrasonic or infrasonic waves that created these reactions. Now, infrasound is sound above human hearing capability. Infrasound is below the audible hearing range of humans. Now, because of these extreme ranges, can cause very negative effects human body. But honestly, is that really the cause? Now, Cuba has admitted that they are spying on all the diplomats. They have the right to. It's still creepy, but it does happen. And the effects of these purported sound waves have not created symptoms that are universal, which is a big question mark, big red flag about the story. And the symptoms include everything from headaches, hearing loss, concussions, nausea, nosebleeds, ear ringing, problems concentrating, and common word recall. Now, that's just for starters. Now, some claim to know when it was happening, stating they could hear specific things in one area, like in a room, they could hear something, but not another. If they moved a foot in any direction, the noises stopped, that's the claim. And some didn't even know what was going on, didn't know what was happening. They just reported things later. So is this some sort of secret weapon? I think the more important question with the story is why? Why would a weapon be used against foreign diplomats at a time when Cuba is looking to strengthen ties with the United States and has opened the doors for tourism, especially through the cruise industry? Is this something being implemented by other countries? Summers pointing the finger at Russia within Cuba to disrupt those good tidings between the two countries. Well, here's something that not many people may have really thought about or thought about it in this particular way, but it's something that actually crossed my mind. Not the first time I read the story. The first time I read the story, wow, I kind of took it at face value. But the more I saw of this and the more I read about this, the more I kind of questioned it and thought maybe there's something a little bit simpler of explanation than some high-tech weaponry. This was brought up by Mick West, metabunk.org. That's metabunk.org. Now, Mick suggests that some, if not all, the claimants of this attack may be potentially suffering from mass hysteria. Now, he specifically puts it as mass psychogenic illness, and this is defined by Wikipedia as, quote, rapid spread illness signs and symptoms affecting members of a cohesive group originating from a nervous system disturbance involving excitation, a loss or alteration of function, whereby physical complaints that are exhibited consciously have no corresponding organic cause. Mass psychogenic illness is distinct from other collective delusions, also included under the blanket term of mass hysteria, and that MPI causes symptoms of disease, although there is no organic cause. Quote. So it's possible that these events started potentially due to somebody having a genuine complaint, one of these general symptoms, or even a legitimate or accidental sonic attack, if you want to use that term. Or, you know, maybe one of these was a legitimate malfunction of equipment or somebody was actually affected by this. But it's now spiraled out of control into mass hysteria. The symptoms started by those who were purportedly attacked are very wide-ranging. And with most of these are attached just getting older. So all the ones I listed here, with the exception of concussions, these are all things that happen to people. As they age, as they get old, as you go through life, these things just happen. Now, Mick also points out the events of complaints of many that is narrowed down to mass hysteria isn't uncommon. In addition to this, sociologist Dr. Robert Bartholomew stated back in September that one should be very skeptical of these claims since there is no evidence to back it up. In fact, he points out that a device that produces inaudible sounds would not damage one's hearing. Joseph Pompei, a former MIT researcher and psychoacoustics expert, also added, quote, brain damage and other concussions, it's not possible. Somebody would have to submerge their head into a pool lined with very powerful ultrasonic transducers, unquote. I wouldn't recommend doing that at home. The FBI and Royal Canadian Mounted Police traveled to Havana. I have to pause and think about that. How do the Royal Canadian Mounted Police travel to Havana? What, do they ride their horses across the water? Anyway, love my Canadian fans. The Mounted Police traveling to Havana to investigate these claims and search the rooms, but they found no devices or detected anything that could cause harm. Now, Cuba has denied any wrongdoing and states it would never act upon any diplomats, nor would it allow any other country to do so. And the United States is also not convinced that Cuba has anything to do with this either. So the story is kind of just like everything else in the media is being spun. It's spiraling out of control. The government seems like it's kind of a little bit of a panic about this stuff. I think they should really consider the fact that, scientifically speaking, a lot of this stuff isn't really possible. And I don't know. It's just it might not really be a. We have to take this into consideration that that it's possible. That should be one of the potential explanations for this, instead of sonic attacks and pulling all these diplomats out of Cuba. It's causing a little bit of pressure between the United States and Cuba, and it's causing a little disruption in things. I mean, you're talking politics here, so complicating things more or less. So definitely something that we should consider and look at. I mean, mass hysteria. Yeah, is that paranormal? No. It is related to an extent, because people are seeing, experiencing things that aren't really there. It reminds you of ghosts. Speaking of ghosts, next week, not going to do it this week. Not done reading it yet. Close, Brandon. Almost got it done. We're going to have an awesome book of the week this week. I had one planned for tonight, but I'm not going to talk about it. Kind of doesn't tie into anything. And I just finished that one before I started reading this new one called The Ghost Studies. It's going to be the book of the week next week. New perspectives on the origins of paranormal experiences. I've already kind of shared the link on Paranormal News Insider on Facebook. That carried over into Twitter. That's Twitterverse. So that's going to be next week's book. We'll talk a lot more in detail about that. Ghost experience. Very, very, very good. And it's very rare that I use three varies to describe a book. And it's going to change the way you think about ghosts. I guarantee you, anybody that reads this book will open your eyes to interesting concepts out there. And let me get my outro picture going. And yeah, it's time. It's already about an hour. I don't know. I had a little dry throat here. I'm not sure what's going on. Too much yelling and screaming for Indians. The Cleveland Indians decided this is postseason baseball time. Tonight we have the New York Yankees and the Minnesota Twins fighting for the wild card spot. And the Indians start playing on Thursday. It's weird because I'm getting actually kind of excited to cancel the radio show program on Thursday, because I was like, wow, good, I can watch the Indians game in total. It's weird. Baseball is addictive and consuming, and it's playoff time. So I'm excited about that. But, I did do a radio show last year during the World Series. I was kind of watching, peeking over the game as we went along. So I don't know. I didn't look at the schedule to see Tuesday night's matchup, but not worried about that. We'll just keep bringing you a great show. And again, I apologize for middle of the show. I kind of was like, my throat was really getting dry. So good old water there. But anyway, it's good to be back. Big thanks to Cindy for her production work, doing everything behind the scenes. People have no idea how much work is involved and put on not just one show, but an entire network, website and everything else. And Dia and Paul certainly help out with that behind the scenes work, putting this awesome network up each and every night, each and every week for me here on Tuesday nights at WCJVradio.com. So thank you, listeners, for tuning in again tonight, live or on the podcast after the fact. And yeah, that's it. I don't know. Maybe I'll change my outro to, yeah, that's it. No, I can't do that. I'll see you next week. But for now, your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. Always question. Don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting. Hold on to that feeling. Speed light.
believe.